Bibles, if you will, and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I want to share probably one of the biggest I ams. I kind of saved this one for last because this is kind of a biggie in the scriptures. And it's probably one of the most revealing I ams that we see in scripture. Let me just kind of explain and just kind of set the stage for you. Jesus, on several occasions, said, I am. I am the bread of the world. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am, I am the gate, and he talks about, I am these things. But when he says, I am this time, for some reason, the Pharisees pick up stones to stone him. And I think that says something about that what he is saying is very important for us to break apart, to look in. What is he saying to us? It was so volatile to them that they wanted to stone him. So let's look back at the scripture in Exodus. If you will, put a bulletin here and turn back to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Myron read that for us this morning. Exodus chapter 3. Let's look down at verse 13, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said to God, God, you know the situation here, appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and he began to speak to him through the burning bush. And so God's telling Moses that he has seen the trouble of the Israel people. He's heard their cry, and he is going to come, and he's going to rescue them from their slavery, from their oppression. And he's going to use Moses to do that. Well, you know, we won't get into the whole conversation here, but basically what Moses is trying to, he's trying to get out of it, in long story short. So he's trying to use excuses. One of the excuses it says, in beginning in verse 13, he says, okay, if I go to them and I tell them that I'm coming to deliver them, who do I say sent me? Who do I say sent me? Look at verse 13. He says, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, that I am has sent you. Okay? Everybody got that? So he's supposed to go, and he's supposed to talk to the people. And he's supposed to tell them when they ask that I am sent me. Now, we could spend a lot of time here and look over things, but that's just not where we're going. I wanted to kind of set the stage because Israel, when they said I am, when he said I am sent me, they did something with that name, the I am who I am. And as they did something with that name, they kind of, They treated that name as completely holy, to the point that they wouldn't even say the name. And today, if you talk to a Jewish person and they write a letter and they use the word God, they will not use the vowels. They will not complete the word. They will not spell God out. They will say G-D. And the reason is they're afraid that if they say the name of God, which is, we would pronounce it Yahweh, if we say that name and we don't speak it in exactly the right tones, in exactly the right way, with exactly the right attitude, then you are breaking the commandment that says, do not use the name of the Lord in vain. So they wouldn't even say Yahweh. They wouldn't even spell Yahweh. In fact, if you look at the spelling of Yahweh in the Hebrew text, there are no vowels. It's Y-H-W-H. No A's in there. Yahweh. That's the, and they won't even hardly say that. And they definitely wouldn't say that because they were afraid if they said it in the wrong context that God would somehow zap them. Where they got that idea, I have no idea. But And they had rules. They had laws that if you're talking to somebody and you say Yahweh and you realize that has slipped out of your mouth, you have to say, be blessed above all. In other words, you can't just say God, you have to say God in a phrase. They thought that name was so holy that you could never, ever say, I am who I am, or I am. Now, when he talks to Moses, it's like if somebody says to me, if I send somebody, tell Brady, I said, I need you to go do something for me. And when he gets there, he's going to say, well, how do they know who sent me? I said, well, what you need to do is say, I am Jeff who sent you. So the I am who I am is he's answering Moses. Who do I say? I am who I am. I am the I am. Okay? Which literally means the existing one. I am being. It's not, you know, if you look at the tense, it's a present tense. Always a present tense. He's in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. He is always. He is being itself. That's why we got to understand that. That's what Moses is hearing God say. This is my name, being. I'm being. I'm existing. I am always. I am the I am. Okay? Everybody got that? That's a little side note that we have to look at. Now, let's go back to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. If I would take the time to go through everything that Jesus is talking about here, we would be here to like 2. But I'm going to try to go through this very quick because what I want you to see is I want you to see the escalating nature of this discussion that Jesus has with the Pharisees in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and back in verse 12, if you go back there, he says, I am the light of the world. And they're beginning to question Jesus on a lot of things. And they're beginning to ask him questions like, who you seem to be testifying about yourself and you have no corroborating evidence. So who are you? That's the general theme. Are you kind of walking with me on this? They're basically asking in John 8, who are you? In fact, there's a couple times in here where they just say it. Who are you? So let's walk through here. I'm not going to read the passages, but I want to kind of set this up. If you're there in John chapter 8, let's look at verse 18. This is where he's talking about bearing witness, and he brings up a subject that they'll return to later. That's why I want to read this real quick. In verse 18, chapter 8, he says, they're talking about where two or three need to bear witness. He says, I bear witness to myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness to me. And they said to him, therefore, well, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father, because if you would have known me, you would know my Father. Okay? So now, this is the discussion. This is the base of kind of where things go from here. I want you to kind of watch this, how this escalates. Jesus then goes on, and I'm just gonna kind of go through the bullet marks in my notes. Is that okay? Because I want to make sure I get it. You can follow along because these are going to kind of basically follow along with these verses in John chapter 8. So just you can kind of read through there as I talk, and you can see this. Jesus makes this interesting statement. He says, you are from below, but I am from above. And you will die in your sins if you don't believe me. I have a lot more to say to you and to deal with, but he who sent me is true. And in verse 28 and 20, a few verses after that, they basically, it says, let me see what verse it is so you can catch up with me where I'm at. I'm sorry. I'm using a different Bible because I forgot and left my normal one at home. This is verse 24. They ask in verse 25, who are you? And Jesus said, even if I would have told you from the beginning, I have much to say to you and I have much to judge, but he who is with me is true, and I declare the world that I have heard from him. And they did not, verse 27, and they did not understand that he spoke to them about the Father. Okay? Now he says, my Father sent me, and my Father is true, but they didn't understand what he's talking about. So Jesus, not wanting them to be ignorant on this subject, goes ahead and says this. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28 and 29. He says, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I can do nothing on my own authority, but speak thus, as the Father has taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Okay? Again, we're laying the context. You're talking about the Father. He's saying, I am here, and the reason I'm here is because my Father sent me. I always do what he tells me to do, and I'm about to do something. I'm going to do this. You know, Jesus is saying, I'm getting into this now, and being a little more expressive about what is going. So verse 31 kind of gets into this, this thing. He kind of starts as he begins to believe. He's been talking about believing in him. He's been talking about who the Father is. And I know this seems kind of jumbled, but just please bear with me, okay? Because we'll bring it all together here in a minute, okay? It's kind of hard to do my notes and my Bible. For some reason, for me this morning, I'm in a cloud. So anyway, I thought I'd better admit that to you up front as you're sitting there going, what is wrong with this dude today? Okay? So what's happening is there are some Jews around there that believe in him. And he says this, look at verse 31. It says, those who believed in him, he said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How many of you have ever read that verse and go, yay! If you believe in me and my word, and you continue in my word, and my word dwells in you, you will be free, and you will be my disciples. There are a bunch of people around there, I think, got very excited, but the Pharisees still had this burning issue that here's this guy, he's come on the scene, he's talking about this Father, he says he's from above, he has nobody to corroborate his testimony, and who is this guy? We need to know who this guy is. So they continue to press the issue. They answered, remember what he said here, you will be truly free. Now here's where it takes a dramatic shift in escalation, okay? They answered him, hey, we are the descendants of Abraham, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. Do you see a problem with that? Anybody read the Old Testament? Anybody read the Gospels? What about Assyria? What about Babylon? What about Rome? Never been. We are descendants of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to anyone. You know? Have you ever been in an argument, and as you're in an argument, you want to prove your point, and you say something that's not right to prove your point? And then when you have to think about it, you go, oops. Well, they don't ever go, oops. The Pharisees don't ever go, oops. Okay? So, and they say, well, we've never been in bondage to anyone. Jesus says, if you sin, you are captive to sin and a slave to sin. Forget the nations that you've been enslaved to. You're enslaved by sin. And remember what he said earlier, if you don't believe in me, you are still in your sin and you will die. This comes from the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, right? He will say that eventually. Okay. A slave, and then he says, a slave doesn't have a permanent place in the house. A son does. Now, that just seems like a casual comment that Jesus makes, but we're going to come back to this in a little bit. But I want you to notice that they say, we have never been enslaved because we are Abraham's descendants. Notice what Jesus says. He says, truly I say to you, and he commits sin, down in verse 35, the slave does not continue in the house, but the son does forever. For if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and do what I have heard from, and you do what you have heard from your Father. And they said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus says, here's something I want you to see, this distinction. And Jesus says, if you were Abraham's, what? Children. You would do what Abraham did. Now, we're gonna camp here just a little bit later. But there's a difference in being a descendant and being a child of. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying the slave doesn't have a permanent home, but the son does. And what the Pharisees are saying, we are Abraham's descendants. We are in the lineage of Abraham. We have Abraham's blood rushing through our body. And Jesus says, if you were Abraham's, say that with me again, children, you would not do what you're doing. You would do what Abraham was doing. You see the difference? You can be in the lineage of, but not be for. You can be out of the lineage, but be for. Are you with me on this? So what Jesus is saying is, can I maybe put words in Jesus' mouth here? I don't care who your papa is. Well, in fact, I know who your papa is. He's the devil, because you like your, and he says this, you like your father, the devil, are full of lies. Okay, do you see how it escalates here? I don't know if you've read the Gospels. You know, I think sometimes we need to read the Gospels as the story of Jesus and see what he says and how he confronts these things. And understand that Jesus here escalates this thing. Okay? So Jesus is saying he's of their father, their other father, the devil. And he talks about the difference of being Abraham's descendants because, I want to get there, but I'll get there in a minute, okay? And then they understand what he's saying, okay? And they respond, we are not illegitimate children. Do you catch their wording there? Okay. All right, so we have a difference of understanding and a difference of perception right here, right? Okay. Jesus is saying, if you were the children of Abraham, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. But you're Abraham's descendants, and that's all you care about, and you're not paying attention to the word that I'm speaking and the father that I'm coming from, and you're not even, if you would say that you knew him, you would know me, and if you knew me, you'd know him. You're not listening like Abraham did. Okay, I gave it away a little bit. Okay, you're not doing what Abraham did. So this begins to escalate. Jesus, as I said, says, you'll love your father. I came from God. He sent me. And then he said, your father is the devil. They accused him of having a demon because he speaks of life, not death. Whoever keeps my word will never taste death. They respond, Abraham died and the prophets die. Who do you claim to be? They ask. I know the Father. This is Jesus. I know the Father that you falsely say he is our God when you don't know him. And if I didn't know him, if I said I didn't know him, I would be liars just like you. Jesus is just laying it on the line. Your ancestor, oh boy, here we go. Are you ready? I'm sorry, I really, when I prepared this sermon, I really wanted to kind of use my rhetoric skills to build this so you could see what was happening here, and I have messed up thoroughly, so you can't see that, but I hope you can sense it. And he says, your ancestor Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he did, and was glad. What? The Pharisees, you're not even 50 years old. 32, 33 at the time. And you say you have seen our father, Abraham? Come on. You couldn't have done that. Let me take a little side note here, and I don't want to get into argumentation here, but there's in theology there is an understanding of something in the Old Testament called a theophany. A theophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Let me give you a couple cases. You remember in Hebrews where the writer of Hebrews talks about Melchizedek? Melchizedek was the one who came out and blessed. And he says, the writer of Hebrews says, I have a lot more I could say about him, but you can't understand it, so I'm not going to go there. Most scholars believe, and if you can look back and see that Melchizedek was the king of Salem, formerly soon to be Jerusalem, he was the king of that, and he came and he blessed and he received tithes. Only God can do that. So most scholars would say that Melchizedek was actually a theophany or a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. I'm not going to die on that hill. I'm just telling you what I've heard and what I've seen. Anybody happen to remember, and this is to me, this is where I think he's talking about. Remember Abraham and Sarah are outside their tent and three angels come and visit Abraham? Now, if you read that carefully, what you're going to find, there's three. And they tell Abraham that he's going to have a child, and you know, and there's the whole laughter thing and all that that takes place there. But then two of them look at the one and say, do you think we need to tell him about what's going to happen with Lot? Do you think we need to tell him about Sodom and Gomorrah? And so the one angel begins to talk to Abraham and tells him, and the other two take off and go. The very next verse, when it speaks about the angel talking to them, the term in Hebrew is the angel of the Lord, which most Hebrew scholars believe is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. So what he is saying here is truth. Before Abraham was, okay? In other words, he had seen Abraham. Okay? I'm just going to throw that out as a possibility for your thinking. See if you want to go with that or not for this to explain this. But then, here we go. You ready? Okay. So then, he says, let me find my place in the scriptures. Jesus says, are you greater than our father Abraham? In verse 55, it says, but you have not known him. I know him. If I said I did not know him, you know what? That's the father. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced that he was glad to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore then said, you are not 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, here we go. Before Abraham was, now I'm going to transliterate to the Hebrew, so you understand what he's saying here. Before Abraham was, Yahweh, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now that wasn't just a misquote. Jesus purposely said, because my English scholars are not here today to double check, but if I'm right, before Abraham was is a past tense thing. I am is a present tense. In fact, they do not go together. If you would go proper English, you would say, before Abraham was, I was. But he didn't say that. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Literally, even in the Greek, it has a distinguish there. Abraham was, it has, yes, Abraham was being, Abraham had being, but it began at a certain time and ended at a certain time. That's all in the Greek. But when we come to the words of Jesus, when he says, I am, he's saying, there always have been. In other words, the Greek word that Jesus used here goes with the Greek word that God used when he says, I exist. I am being. Jesus is letting us know who he is. He is God. Not just putting himself in the role of doing God's work. He is God. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, you know the Jews' response. What did they do? They picked up stones to stone him because he took upon himself the name, the holy name, the name they would not mention, the name they would not write. He took upon himself that name, calling himself Yahweh, the one that was at the bush with Moses, the one that was walked with them throughout things. In fact, Paul tells that he was even walking with them through the desert and the rock with water. We talked about that before. You see what's happening here? Jesus is saying, I am that I am. I am present. God in flesh. Word become flesh and dwelt among him. I am. Pharisees, you are descendants, but your real father is the devil because you lie all the time. I am here and I cannot lie. I cannot deny who I am. I am telling you the truth. Well, who are you then? Before Abraham was, Yahweh, I am. And they picked up stones to stone him. That says a lot about who Jesus is. Amen? I mean, it would be if he was just some nutcase that came on and he wasn't validating himself or he didn't have the Father working in him, then we could go, okay, he's liar or lunatic. But he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed 5,000. He walked on water. He is the Creator come to earth. He is God in flesh. He is Lord. Amen? So let's look at what that means. Let's take just a minute and let's say, what is Jesus trying to say here? It is interesting, as I said, that the religious leaders were the descendants of the captives in Egypt. Right? What was God sending Moses, a human, a servant, what was he sending him to do? To deliver the Israelites from the oppressor. Right? If Jesus is the I am, and this traces back to Moses, Jesus was here not just to bring us out of the captivity of the nationalistic overcomers. He was here to bring us out of the captivity of sin. He came as the I am. God came to deliver us out of sin into life, so therefore we might walk in life in the promised land, which is wherever we are, because that's where he is. I am. He is. Amen? So one thing we can learn here is that Jesus came to deliver us from our present oppression and enemy. Not Egypt for us, but in the context, that means a lot. In the present, in the now, he delivers us from the enemy and he leads us out of our depression now. I am. I will. I have. I am. I am here. I will lead you out. Amen? All that he said and will do, give witness to the Father. That's what he was giving witness to the Father and showing that that he was going to rescue them and bring them out. He's bearing witness not to himself but to the Father. And what's Jesus saying here? Let's go back to visit that descendant versus children thing. Okay, Abraham's descendants were by blood. But we know that not necessarily does Abraham's descendants do what Abraham did. Jesus expresses that here. Well, let's take just a second. What did Abraham do? Abraham was in Ur of Chaldees. By all we can read, he was an idolater. He was worshiping the sun god. And he was out one day doing whatever he did, and in the midst of that, God spoke. And God said, Abram, I want you to take your family and I want you to leave here and I want you to go to a place that I will show you. And you know what Abram did? He said, okay, let's go. I'm waiting. Lead me. I'm going. Show me. Show me where I'm supposed to go. And God led him to a place, which, by the way, you look at the geography, it ended up kind of being the land of Israel. What am I saying? Abraham heard, he had faith, he trusted, he believed, and he obeyed. Something the Pharisees were not doing. That's why Jesus said, if you're just descendants, you're not doing what Abraham did. If you were his children, you would understand. If you were his offspring, you would do what Abraham did, which is hear the I am in me and you would do and follow and you would believe and you would